tonight, my wife, they were singing that he's jealous for me. That's the song I've heard her sing for years. That's a powerful song, isn't it? Think about the love of God and all of the singing. I mean, from the get-go, has been spot on. And we thank you for obeying the Lord. And I want to do that as well. I heard there is a game. I know y'all don't know anything about it. We're just being played tonight. And but hey, I'll say this. I mean, nothing against games. I love football, and I was going to say, but I didn't want to offend Sister Cindy. The Hogs and the Dogs are the only two I know that won their bowl game. They'd shout now, somebody. And yeah, and she's still doing the Seminole chop. I heard there was some Gator. Didn't the Gators win? Did the Gators win? Well, we'll say the Gators, the Dogs, and the Hogs. Man, that just goes right. That works, don't it? And but anyhow, you start talking sports, folks will get mad sure as you please. I preach in Alabama a lot. So now I'm going to tell you, you just mentioned War Eagle and Crimson Tide, and the church will split. You want to run a good meeting, just talk about that, I'll tell you. I have the unenviable task of getting to preach in all those states. And anyhow, I'll get right to preaching. Go with me tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. I leaned over. We was driving today to go eat. And I will go ahead and tell you, we did dip a chip. And we did get some cheese dip. And I will tell you, I drank enough sweet tea that I really didn't need anything else to eat. But we had a good time, good visit. Food was good. Fellowship was even better. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. But Genesis, go there. I want to shift gears. If you were here this morning, I preached on Calvary. And I dealt with the gift. The gift is hanging on the tree. I just felt after the service that the Lord wanted me to go this direction, and I was talking to Brother Keith, and I know that we have made a push to preach evangelistically and preach to the lost and do the work. And I think you'd amen this. The church desperately needs to get concerned about the lost. I think we as preachers, we as the people of God, we've got a lot on our plate. We're busy. We got a lot doing. I get it. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest day in our life is when we are willing to invest in the life of somebody else and tell them about Christ and be a witness to them. But Genesis chapter 35, I'm going to go down there to verse 16. I'm going to read to verse 21 and... I'm going to preach about an hour and 45 minutes, and that's a joke. I've never preached that long in my life. When you preach, my buddy from North Carolina says, when you preach like a lawnmower's chasing you, you can't last as long. Amen. I mean, you can only go so long, and then you got to close her down. And so we'll do that tonight. We'll try our best to follow the Lord, preach what he wants us to do. Genesis chapter 35, when you get to verse 16, shout amen. Amen. If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand, and I'm going to read to you from the Word of God. I will go ahead and commend you and brag on you. Brother Keith didn't tell me to do this. I'm working on my own here. But I think this is a great-looking Sunday night crowd. Amen. I mean, hey, I've been to church on Sunday night, and it was me and Mom and the kids. Don't y'all act so shocked, man, I'm telling you. But y'all have really impressed me by coming back tonight. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Rachel travailed. Somebody say travailed. And she had hard labor. Came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. This is one of the most intriguing verses I've ever read. Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. There's significance to that verse. We'll deal with it tonight. Then, just as captivating as verse 20, I think verse 21 is remarkable. "And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond." Somebody say, beyond. "And beyond the tower of Edom." I want you to look up here and then I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you my title tonight, because it is in my heart that we are dealing on a Sunday night with some people that have hurt. Would anybody agree with me? I've never seen a more wounded, more hurting people than we are dealing with today. So I'm going to give you a little hope out of the Word of God. I want to preach tonight on this thought: transforming your heartache into hope. And if I wasn't so dignified, I'd at least say amen right there. Transforming your heartache into hope. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for every man, every lady, every boy, and every girl. Thank you for the great service. God, we don't give Keith credit. We don't give the singers credit. We don't give Derek credit. We credit a God that is able, a God that blessed us. And we acknowledge you tonight. And God, if we're going to have a meeting, it'll not be man-induced. I believe Pastor Keith even made mention of that. God, it'll have to be by the Lord. And would you do something tonight? And do something Monday night, and do something Tuesday night, and do something Wednesday night, that we'll say, "Look what the Lord is doing at Zion Hill." And God, we'll give you honor and praise. Move among us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Now, I want to do this tonight, transforming your heartache into hope. Now, I'm going to just say this, and I believe I would probably get a few amens. There is something tonight beyond heartache. Amen. There is something beyond trials and beyond tears and beyond disappointment. Matter of fact, you've walked in on a Sunday night, a place of difficulty, a place of indecision, a place that literally shook your world, a place that really didn't make sense. That's the kind of story I read to you out of Genesis chapter 35. But let me just give you some smiling material. Would you agree with me that God can make that trial a blessing? He can use that trial, that heartache, that disappointment to teach you valuable truths. Now, Brother Keith, I want your people to know and everybody here that God's grace will endure. And God knows exactly what He is doing. And He and you and me and everybody here, we are under His control. Amen. We are under His authority. Would anybody agree? God is the authority. Amen. So all of that being said, let me dig to the text. In this moment of crisis, this lady's name was Rachel. The Bible said she's in hard labor. Matter of fact, two times your Bible records she's in hard labor. And as she's giving birth, the midwife said, "You're going to have a boy. You're going to have this son." And when that baby was born, she looks at him. Now, you've got to remember this. Rachel is the woman that wanted children. Rachel is the woman that is, she cannot find ease. She cannot find peace unless she bears children. That's what the scripture said. And when that little boy was born, Brother Key, she said his name will be called Ben-Oni. Now, everybody look up here so I can give you some stuff to think about. Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. Then Jacob steps up on the scene and said, no, his name will not be called Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. His name will be called Benjamin. Now, I could stop and shout on my own message. Benjamin's name means son of my right hand. Son of my strength. Just as well beloved as my right hand. His name will not be called son of sorrow. He'll be called son of my strength. But would you agree with me? She come to a point in her life that she allowed the circumstances to affect what she thought. And would you agree, in your life and in my life, you're either going to get bitter or you're going to get better. Ladies and gentlemen, in my life and in your life, you're either going to let the heartache, you're either going to let that disappointment, you're either going to let that trial, that difficulty, you're either going to call it Ben-Oni or Benjamin. What are you going to call it on a Sunday night? Amen. Think about that as we dig into the text. And here's what I'm going to say. I believe tonight that there are people inside the church. Now don't amen me. They're dealing with bitterness. You did a good job not amening, brother. But we've got people inside the church that are dealing with hatred and are dealing with hurt and grief. And but can I preach to somebody? There is glory beyond your grief. There is hope beyond your heartache. And would you agree with me? God can take this loss. God can take this hurt. And God can take this disappointment and show you the light of heaven and transform your heartache into hope. Now, I've got really good news, and I think it'll make everybody feel better on Super Bowl Sunday night. I've only got 3 points. I got 3 grins and 2 nods, and I appreciate the grins and the nods. Hey, but here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell you, I know some of you don't take notes. And if you don't, I'm fine with it. But I do want you to make a mental note of point one. Here's where we are. Brother Edward, I think you'll find this significant. You must have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. I don't know how you can stay calm, but you are doing a real good job. You must have closure for the disappointments that are behind us. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a wise old man of God and a young man of God. The young man of God always battled. He always battled indecision. He second-guessed every decision he ever made. He had a hard time, Timmy, sticking with anything. So he asked the old man of God. He said, "Old man of God," he said, "I know you are wise and you are strong in the Lord. And I need some help with my indecisiveness and my worry. And I never stick with anything. I need some help."
The old man of God and the young man of God were walking down the trail. They come to a gate, Brother Keith, and the old man of God opened the gate. He said, boy, this will be a teaching moment for this young man. He opens the gate. He said, go right on through, son. And the young man walked through the gate. And he, the old man of God, walked behind him. And he said, now watch this, son. You need to pay close attention. And the old man of God grabbed the gate. And he closed the gate. And he securely closed the gate. He said, young man, he said, did you see what I just done? He said, well, I really wasn't paying much attention. He said, when I pass through my life and I go through difficult decisions and I go through and I do things for the Lord. He said, watch this, son. Watch it again. He closes the gate again. And he said, when I walk through a gate, he said, I strongly and securely close the gate that is behind me. Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree with me? Some of us need to close the gate. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you right now, and it is a teaching moment. Well, I could spend a little time there, but I'll dig a little deeper into the passage. So here is my story. Jacob probably felt that he had done all he'd known to do. And he felt like a failure. He felt like he could not stop what was going on. This is his sweetheart. And his wife Rachel died. Now, I don't know about you, but if my wife died, would anybody agree that desperately or no doubt would be heartache? No doubt that would be disappointment. I was reading Brother Keith, and I'll tie two thoughts together. And hopefully put a big red bow on it after we tie them together. I want you to write this down. You got to know that it's as easy as ABC. What are you talking about? Adversity builds character. Well, I'll say that one more time. Hit the rewind button. Adversity builds character. In 1982, the cosmonauts had spent 200 days in space. They came back down out of space, and when they landed, Brother Keith, and they got down on the ground, they fell. They absolutely fell to the ground. Their equilibrium was off. Here's what the cosmonauts discovered. While they were in space, there was zero gravity. There was zero resistance. There was zero adversity. Everything was free as a bee. No resistance. And when they landed on the planet, they could not stand. So the cosmonauts, and you know the Russians, they made a suit. And they called it the penguin suit. Now, I don't know if you ever saw it. But every movement, when they moved their hand, it was met with adversity. When they moved their foot, it was met with adversity and resistance. Next time they spent 300 days in space, and when they got back to planet Earth, they had no ill effect. They could move. They could walk. They could get through it. Would anybody agree with the man of God? You feel like all hell has broke loose in your life. But would you agree with me? Adversity builds character. God uses stuff in my life and in your life so we can take a licking and keep on ticking. And God knows the master plan. Well, I said I was going to get there. I finally got to where I want to get. Look back there. I told you it was significant. It's found in verse 20 of Genesis 35 and 20. Jacob set a pillar. Somebody say pillar. Boy, y'all talk back good. I'm telling you. Pillar. And then it said this. Upon her grave, and that pillar, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Now, I want to explain that as good as an Arkansas preacher can explain that. I believe this. Here she is, and she dies, and he sets a pillar at her grave, and that is the pillar to this day. Here's what I believe about mankind. Here's what I believe about you and I as he puts the pillar. If we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, we will harness ourselves to heartache. Whew. Let me dig a little deeper. We will anchor ourselves to anguish. You say, well, Brother Derek, not me. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that God wants to deliver me and God wants to deliver you from that grief, from that heartache, and from that loss? Now, I'm going to talk to you because I love you. Does anybody remember Hurricane Katrina? Let me see your hand. Yeah, we remember. Now, I don't live in Louisiana. I live in Arkansas. But Brother Keith, I'll preach to your folks, if I did live in Louisiana and I did live near the coast and I did live near the ocean and they tell me a Category 5 hurricane is coming, I will be an evacuee. I mean, camp out if you want to, baby. I'm out of there. Now, I know y'all's all bad to the bone, and you got bad shoulders, and you're tough as you can be. Look up here. You'll see my headlights and taillights going down.
Amen.
No need in hanging out, son. I'm going to tell you. And so I'm just telling you about me, but let me tell you about the man and his wife. And I find tragedy in this story. He had a wife. She begged him. Now, Brother Keith, she begged him to leave. Well, he finally listened to her. He got her in the car. They drove about a mile or two, got on the interstate, and the interstates were packed. He said, honey, there ain't no way to get out of here. He said, let's go back. And they went in the worst part of Hurricane Katrina. They were in the flood level zones and in the bad area. It slipped my mind, but you can look this story up and tell I'm telling you the truth. But anyhow, they went back in that place that was hit hard. And they got in there, Brother Keith, and the floodwaters got a foot deep. The floodwaters got 2 feet deep. He took his wife. He got her on the table. It got higher than that. He got her up in the attic, and the water got that far from them in the attic. And she had a heart attack and died. Took 2 days before the people could get in there and take his wife out. He cried, he wept, he felt guilty. He blamed himself. He would not forgive himself. And within a year or two, maybe two or three years later, Brother Keith, another hurricane came. And they asked the man, they didn't know what had happened, but they asked the man, are you going to leave? There is a hurricane coming on the similar path of Katrina. They asked him, and here's his response. I cannot leave. I'm chained here by my own guilt. Can I tell you, I'm preaching to people that are chained by their own guilt. I am preaching to people tonight that have heartache, that have had disappointments, and you have harnessed yourself to heartache. You have anchored yourself to anguish, and you need to listen to the man of God. They might have done you wrong. They might have wounded you. They might have hurt you so bad, and it is a grievous injustice indeed. But can I tell you, if you're not careful, that guilt, that bitterness, that hurt will linger until you die. So God gave me a little point. We must have closure for the disappointments that are behind us. I cannot believe I'm already on point number two, but I am on point number two. Jot it down. I'm going to talk to you. Number two, we must have courage for the days that are before us. I'm going to talk to you because it's obvious you didn't hear what I just said. Can I tell you, I get bothered by Christians that it's always dark and bleak and there's no hope. Just amen or nod your head. And I said to God, God, how do you want me to address this? Can I tell you Zion Hill? Can I tell you every church that is in here? Can I tell you broken man? Can I tell you broken woman? Can I tell you wounded husband? Can I tell you wounded wife? Can I look you in the eye and give you some hope? Can I give you something that'll transform your heartache into hope? You got to have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. But blessed be the good God of glory. You got to have courage for the days that are before you.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. You say, Brother Derek, I don't get it. I don't know why you act like you act. I'll tell you why, because you didn't shout. Somebody had to. You must have courage for the days that are before us. Now, Brother Keith, I told you verse 20, or I told everybody, you included, verse 20 was intriguing, and verse 21 was intriguing. Keep your Bible and look at this with me. Now, I want you to look. What does it say in the second word of verse 20? And who? Jacob. It says Jacob in verse 20. And Jacob set a pillar. And Jacob. Somebody say Jacob. Jacob set a pillar. Now, go to verse 21. Now, what does that second word say? Israel. In verse 20, it says Jacob. In verse 21, it says Israel. How many know that is the same guy? Now, well, Brother Derek, I never noticed that. Well, it's obvious we don't look enough. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Hey, I'm not going to act so holy and make y'all think I'm a giant. No, I miss stuff all the time. Jacob set a pillar in verse 20. Israel journeyed. Here's what I wrote down in my little Bible. Jacob, or what I wrote down on my notes. Jacob erected a pillar in verse 20. In verse 21, Israel, he journeyed beyond. Now hold up, it's almost shout material. We're not there yet. As Jacob, he wept. As Israel, he journeyed. I don't think it's moved you yet. I'll try one more. As Jacob, he mourned. As Israel, he moved on. Woo! Why did you stay calm? Because y'all's doing it and I'm catching on. Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree with me? Sometimes we mourn, but there's a time to mourn, but there's a time to move on. Hallelujah. There's a time to move on. And here is the sermon, and I want to give it to you. So I said, God, I like it. Must have courage for the days that are before us. In Gettysburg. Now you got to listen to me. In Gettysburg, 10,000 soldiers died. Not only, Brother Keith, the 10,000 soldiers died, 5,000 horses died. And one girl, one innocent girl, Brother Timmy, died. An innocent girl died by a stray bullet. So if I added it up correctly, that's 10,001. Then there's 5,000. So that is 15,001. Deaths, only 10,001 human lives, 5,000 horses, and so we see death and decay and ruin. But after these people died, there were 40,000 more people that died. You say, why did they die? Everybody look up here. Because they didn't bury the dead fast enough. Well, Brother Derek, I don't understand the point. Okay. Brother Keith, the air became contaminated. The water was poisoned. And fever broke out. And can I tell you as a man, can I tell you as a woman, can I tell you as a leader, the worst thing you can do in your life is to leave dead things out in the open. Brother Keith, when someone asked you to forgive them, humbly forgive them. Now, I'm going to help you because I deal with this kind of folk all the time. Well, you know, Brother Derek, if they would have asked me to forgive them, I would have forgave them. Look up here. I won't help you. They might not ever ask you to forgive them. But whether they do or not, forgive them. Why, Brother Derek, is that significant? Because if you do not bury the dead, it'll contaminate your children. I thought of this. There was a lady, and I love this church. I loved all the little babies and the youngins. Son, if we can't get anybody saved, bless God, we adding to the kingdom out here. Amen. I mean, that's precious. That's a life church. That's something doing something in the kingdom. But listen, and I'm going to get real with you. There was a lady there in Gettysburg. She was 6 months expecting a baby. And they gave in that time. How many know Gettysburg's been a few years ago? Somebody amen that. They gave back then, Brother Keith, $3 for every dead body you buried because they wanted to get rid of the dead. This woman was 6 months. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when you sit, you've got some poundage on you.
Amen.
Now, that wasn't the best time to amen right there. But I mean, you know, I have talked to you into amening and you've done real good. Hey, but listen to me and hear me. I promise there'll be a point. She buried by herself 120 dead bodies. You know why? Everybody look up here. She didn't want to bring her offspring into such filth and decay. Someone says, man of God, I really don't get it. Well, maybe this one will get you. Frank William Borum, one of the most bitter, unkind, most unfriendly men on the planet. Brother Keith, he was hateful and sour. The young children, I'm going to tell you, if you're this way and the children don't like you and the children don't have a kind word to say about you, well, I could tell you what that is, but I'm telling you, you're sour. You're bitter. You're mean. And Frank William Borum, here's what he said, Brother Keith. He said, I've been a mean, hard man my whole life. He said, it should not have been that way. He said, I had a best friend when I was young that done me wrong and wounded me. And here's his words. Here's what Frank William Borum said. He said, I never forgave that man. He said, it caused bitterness to reach my heart. He said, to my dying day, he said, it was gall on my tongue and gravel in my teeth. He said, it robbed me of my happiness. He said, it robbed me of my joy. He said, it wounded me. It ruined my whole life. Ladies and gentlemen, you look up here. You need to bury that. You need to get it under the blood. And you need to move on for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you agree with that, shout amen. Now, I preached and it seemed so short. You say, Brother Derek, do you think it? No, but I'm telling you, I feel good about the sermon. And I do feel like I'm preaching fast. So we must have courage for the days that are before us. Now, I'm almost to point three and we'll wrap this up. Brother Keith, I thought about Rachel and Jacob. And the baby being born, and she called him Benoni, and he calls him Benjamin. Do you understand? We must have closure for the disappointments that are behind us. We must have courage for the days that are before us. But ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some more hope. We have to go on because there's a baby that we've got to tend to. Oh, Derek, I don't get it. I hope it'll make sense. They could have majored. Jacob could have majored. Israel could have majored. It was unfair. God, you're unfair. And the props have been knocked out from under him. His sweetheart is dead. He could have blamed God. But he noticed that Benjamin is there. And he said, I've got to hold the baby. I've got to feed the baby. I've got to nurture the baby. I've got to keep on going because of the baby. Would anybody agree? We've got to keep on doing what we're doing and affecting babies. Hold up. Brother Derek, are you going to make it plain? I'll try right here. Here's my final point. We must be committed to the dream that is beyond us. Can I tell you, Zion Hill, after what we saw today, God said, Derek, I want you to preach this tonight. Can I tell you, Zion Hill, your greatest days have not yet come? Can I tell you, Pastor Keith, that we must be committed to the dream that is beyond us? Amen. You say, Derek Stennett, we're in Millwood. I don't care if you're whatever town you're in, son. God is God, just as much God in Millwood as he is anywhere on the planet. And God wants you to be committed to the dream that is beyond you. Now, let me make it make sense. Well, Brother Derek, how does this work? Jacob buried, Israel journeyed, and he dreamed on. He prayed on. He went on. He moved on. She calls him Benoni, son of my sorrow. He calls him Benjamin, son of my strength. Have you ever thought why he called him Benjamin? His name was Jacob, meant supplanter and heel catcher and deceiver. Could it be, Pastor? He knew what it was to have a wrong name. And he said, my boy will not be called Benoni. His name will be called Benjamin. Here's the closer. Well, Brother Derek, you've talked a while and you preached a while and you told us about the baby. Hey, everybody look up here because I'm about to shout. What was that boy's name? Somebody say it was Benjamin. Have you ever thought about that little tribe of Benjamin? Derek Stennett, why is it important to carry the baby? Why is it important to journey on? Why is it important? Well, that little tribe of Benjamin, there was a man came from that tribe. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament. Y'all hear me? His name was Saul of Tarsus. God changed his name and he became the Apostle Paul. He came from that tribe of Benjamin. My God, I don't know how you can stay so calm. Do you understand? He came from Benjamin. Do you not understand? It is important to carry the baby. Amen. You don't know who you're impacting at Zion. Must be committed to the dream that is beyond us. I close. You say, I'm doing my version of Brother Keith as I continue to close. I mean, you know, hey, you know the preacher's going to get somebody that's similar to him. So I'll do my best to close. Brother Keith, the Boston Marathon is, I didn't know it, but it's one of the most hardest, most difficult races in the marathons. The Boston Marathon is one of the most difficult. I didn't know it. Now, if you ever hear I ran a marathon, you better investigate. I mean, I love to walk and I run to run, but I'm going to be honest, 26 miles, I'd just be glad to drive that far. But hear this, the Boston Marathon, I told you, the reason it was the most difficult, I didn't know this until I found it. At the end of the race, there are four long hills. At the end of the race, a famous world runner came over and ran the Boston Marathon. He done good. He got to the first hill, he conquered it. He got to the second hill, he conquered it. He got to the third hill, he conquered it. He come to the last hill and he fell out of the race. On the last heat. He said this, Brother Keith, I wasn't expecting that. And he called the heel. He said, that heel broke my heart. And they call it heartbreak heel. Now before we shout, let me give you the conclusion of the story. At the end of the race, Pastor, they moved the people from the front of the race to the end of the race, and they ag them on and they cheer them on. And after you top the last hill, they would hold a big banner up, and here's how it would read. Heartbreak is over. You're almost home. Can I tell somebody on a Sunday night that heartbreak is over and you're almost home? Now listen to the story. I must have closure for the disappointments that are behind me. I must have courage for the days that are before us. And I must be committed to the dream that is beyond me. Can I tell you tonight, I could talk to you for an hour, but I won't. Look at this. I closed my Bible. I don't know what that does, but it helps people. I don't know why, but it helps them. And I shut it. And I've got my cell phone, and it looks like it's, yeah, real early. Everybody look up here. It's 6:17 where I'm from. I've done really, really good. But look up here. I promise. I've got preachers, and I've got friends. I've got people I love that have been hurt so bad in ministry that they've almost quit. Can I tell you, I've met husbands and I've met wives that have gotten so hurt in life that they almost quit. Can I give you one more ounce of encouragement? Heartbreak is over. You're almost home. Amen. And there is hope beyond heartache. Stand all over the room. God, I pray you'd move. I pray you'd anoint the musicians. I pray you'd move in this place. I feel, God, there are some folks that need to bury some stuff. God, I do believe there are people that need to let go of some things. I believe there are some people that need to securely close the gate behind them and press for the mark. As Jacob, he mourned. As Israel, he moved. He moved on. Would you move tonight in this building, in this sanctuary? Anoint these musicians. Give them the song to play. I pray, God, more than that, if there's anybody broken, if there's anybody that is, you need to transform their heartache into hope, I pray they would have closure for the disappointments that are behind, that they would have courage for the days that are before, that they would be committed to the dream that is beyond them. God, we'll give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please? You say, Derek Stennett, I've walked in tonight and I've got unforgiveness in my heart. Derek Stennett, I've got bitterness in my heart. And Derek, I'll be as plain and as honest as I can be. I need to bury it. It's causing contamination. It has poisoned my family. It has wounded my children. It has hurt my relationship with my wife. It has hurt my relationship with my coworkers. And Derek, I need to bury some things tonight. Nobody's looking. I know the God of heaven dealt with me to go this way. And I'm telling you, if God is moving on you and talking to you, how many honest hands would go real high and say, boy, Derek, the Holy Ghost, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Real quick, I promise you, I'll not embarrass you, sir. I'll not embarrass you, sweet girl. I'll not embarrass you, young man. Derek, I need some clothes. Friends, I've never seen a more difficult day than the day that you and I are living. The woundings, the hurts, and the heartache. Hey, Derek, I'm going through some stuff tonight. Adversity is building character. I'm finding every step is met with resistance. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, take courage of that. God has given you strength for the journey. Hey, Derek, I'm going through. I'm preaching. I'm telling you, there's something going on in my life right now that's rocking my world. How many honest hands? Real quick, I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. Bless you in the back. Anybody else real quick? Bless you, sir, ma'am. Bless you. Anybody else real quick? I'm getting out of the way. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to turn the mic off in a second. But I'm not going to beg you. I can't say nobody. Brother Keith will follow up and do what he wants to follow the Lord and obey the Lord. But here's what I want to do. If you need help tonight and you need to use this altar, whether you need to bury something, whether you need to forgive, whether you need to let it go, whatever you need, I want you to get up out of your seat. Meet me around the altar. Hey, sir, if you're lost, hey, ma'am, if you're lost and you're dealing with heartache, your life has been one mess after another, and you say, Derek, stood it. I need to be born again and anoint. Derek, all my life is a mess. I need to be saved. How many honest hands? Boy, preacher, I'm lost on a Sunday night. Any honesty tonight? Would you own up tonight that you're lost? Anybody? I'll get out of the way. All right, here's what I want to do. If you need to come and you raise your hand and you meant business, that's the invitation. I'm turning the mic off. And if you need help, would you come? Mom or daddy, teenager, come right now. Come.